Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. Yesterday, we read from the book of Tobit, and we saw the distressing circumstance that the young woman was in because she had been married to seven men, and they all had died on their wedding night, and yet she trusted God. She turned to God. Even though she was mocked and ridiculed by the maids and all the people in the household, she turned to God and she put her trust in God and she relied on him under very difficult circumstances. Now, today we read now from chapter 6, so we're moving around a bit here, and I really would urge you to read the whole book of Tobit. It's got many, many lessons that are very good, but this one we'll talk about today, this particular instance. Take a look at chapter 6, beginning with verses 10 to 11, and then chapter 7, verses 9 to 17, and chapter 8, verses 4 to 9. Listen to this. When the angel Raphael and Tobiah, so Tobiah was making a journey, he was looking for a wife, and he had entered Medea, and they were getting close to Ecbatana, Raphael said to the boy, Tobiah, my brother. He replied, here I am. He said, tonight we must stay with Raguel, who is a relative of yours. He has a daughter named Sarah. So he brought him to the house of Raguel, whom they found seated by his courtyard gate. They greeted him first, and he said to them, greetings to you too, brothers. Good health to you and welcome. And he brought them into his home. Hospitality was so essential. Raguel slaughtered a ram from the flock and gave them a cordial reception. And when they had bathed and reclined to eat, Tobiah said to Raphael, brother Azariah, ask Raguel to let me marry my kinswoman Sarah. Raguel overheard the words, so he said to the boy, eat and drink and be merry tonight, for no man is more entitled to marry my daughter Sarah than you, brother. Besides, not even I have the right to give her to anyone but you, because you are my closest relative. But I will explain the situation to you very frankly. I have given her in marriage to seven men, all of whom were kinsmen of ours, and all died on the very night they approached her. But now, son, eat and drink. I am sure that the Lord will look after you both. Now look, in that situation, what would you do? Tobiah answered, I will eat or drink nothing until you set aside what belongs to me. Raguel said to him, I will do it. She is yours according to the decree of the book of Moses. Your marriage to her has been decided in heaven. Take your kinswoman. From now on, you are her love, and she is your beloved. She is yours today and ever after. And tonight, son, may the Lord of heaven prosper you both. May he grant you mercy and peace. So this young man is not thrown off by the fact that this woman has been married a number of times and all of her husbands have died. He's not deterred by that. Let's pay attention here to what happens. Then Raguel called his daughter Sarah, and she came to him. He took her by the hand and gave her to Tobiah with the words, take her according to the law, according to the decree written in the book of Moses. She is your wife. Take her and bring her back safely to your father. And may the God of heaven grant both of you peace and prosperity. Raguel then called Sarah's mother, told her to bring a scroll so that he might draw up a marriage contract stating that he gave Sarah to Tobiah as his wife according to the decree of the Mosaic law. Her mother brought the scroll, and Raguel drew up the contract to which they affixed their seals. Afterward, they began to eat and drink. Later, Raguel called his wife Edna and said, my love, prepare the other bedroom and bring the girl there. She went and made the bed in the room as she was told and brought the girl there. After she had cried over her, she wiped away the tears and said, be brave, my daughter. May the Lord grant you joy in the place of your grief. Courage, my daughter. And then she left. When the girl's parents left the bedroom and closed the door behind them, Tobiah arose from bed and said to his wife, my love, get up, let us pray and beg our Lord to have mercy on us and to grant us deliverance. She got up and they started to pray and begged that deliverance might be theirs. And they began to say, "Blessed are you, O God of our fathers. Praise be your name forever and ever. Let the heavens and all your creation praise you forever. You made Adam and you gave him his wife Eve to be his help and support. And from these two, the human race descended. You said it is not good for man to be alone. Let us make him a partner like himself. Now, Lord, you know that I take this wife of mine not because of lust, but for a noble purpose. Call down your mercy on me and on her, and allow us to live together to a happy old age." And they said together, "Amen, amen," which means so be it, and went to bed for the night. Look at the faith of both of them. Look at that faith in the midst of adverse circumstances, very adverse circumstances. Look at their faith. They're trusting God. They believed that they were given to one another by God, and they put their trust in God and not in the circumstances. How great is our faith? Psalm 128, "Blessed are those who fear the Lord." To fear the Lord is not to quake and tremble. To fear the Lord is to put all your trust in him. To fear the Lord is to obey his law, his word. Repent of your sin. That's the fear of the Lord. In other words, what God has said, you make the absolute priority of your life. What God has taught us, where God has shown us his mercy, where God asks for our repentance, where God asks for our obedience to the Ten Commandments. If you fear the Lord, you will obey him. That's what it means to fear the Lord, to reverence the Lord, to obey him. Do you fear the Lord? It's a gift of the Holy Spirit. Wisdom, understanding, counsel, fortitude, knowledge, piety, and fear of the Lord. In other words, do you put God's word first? Do you put God's commandments first in your life? Do you fear him? Do you reverence him? Do you take him at his word? Is he the center of your life? These two in this scripture, they put their trust in God. What about us? Psalm 128 tells us, "Blessed are those who fear the Lord. Blessed are those who fear the Lord, who walk in his ways, for you shall eat the fruit of your handiwork. Blessed shall you be and favored. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the recesses of your home, your children like olive plants around your table. Behold, thus is the man blessed who fears the Lord." Put his word, his commandments first. Pattern your life after him. That's living out. It's a reverence for God. It's putting God first in your life and his word to you. "Behold, thus is the man blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life." Even in the midst of misfortune, if we fear the Lord and put his word and his truth first in our lives, we will be mightily blessed. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 12, verses 28 to 34. One of the scribes came to Jesus and asked him, "Which is the first of all the commandments?" And Jesus replied, "The first is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength." Do you? It is the first commandment, to love the Lord our God with all our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength. Do I? In other words, in every aspect of my life, do I put him first? It's a gift to trust him, and the gift is given to you in baptism and in confirmation. The gift is given. Do you access that gift? Do you see it as a priority at all in your life? The second is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these, to love God and to love one another. And the scribe said to him, "Well said, teacher, you are right in saying he is one and there is no other than he, and to love him with all your heart and with all your understanding and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is worth more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." Old Testament, all the burnt offerings, all the sacrifices. And the scribe is saying, what you're saying is more important than all the burnt offerings and all the sacrifices. He gets it. And when Jesus saw that, he answered with understanding. You know, you can give the right answer but have no understanding what you're talking about. But when Jesus saw that, he answered with understanding. He said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." You are not far. In other words, you are just about ready to acknowledge God as your God. And you are close to actually recognizing me for who I am. Getting close, because he has his priorities in right order and he's living by them. And it says here, no one dared to ask him any more questions, because they realized that what he was saying was true, that God is first. And in the Old Testament, as well as in the New, we say that's the most important thing, that we acknowledge him as our Lord and our God, our Savior, our Redeemer, our Sanctifier, our Father. We recognize him for who he is in our lives, and we seek to follow him, to believe him, to understand what his teaching is, and to allow our lives to be conformed to his word. That's the call of every Christian. And it brings God great joy because we become more and more like him. But we know that the world, the flesh, and the devil work against that. Our own flesh, our own selfishness, our own self-centeredness can work against it. And we tend, well, yeah, I'm real good in this area, but yeah, that area I don't pay too much attention to. Or I've tried, but I can't do it. God's asking too much. When in reality, if we just go to the Lord and say, "Lord, I've sinned against you. I've made many mistakes. But I repent for those." And tell the Lord what they are. He knows, but tell him. Say it out loud. Hear it. "I've sinned against you. But Lord, I want to rededicate myself to you, and I want to follow you from here on out. Will you lead me? Will you teach me? Will you show me? I repent of the sins that I've turned to instead of turning to you. I repent of them, and I want to turn away from them, and I want to follow you." You pray like that, God's going to hear you very, very clearly. And his heart of great love is going to be turned toward you. That's why in my little booklet that I'm offering, The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings, it's that intimacy with God that begins to grow in you. And that joy, no one will take from you. God bless you. As you listen to these programs, you can see areas of your own life that need to change. And I want to offer you a free copy of my booklet, The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings. It's great joy, brothers and sisters. Don't miss it. 1-800-282-4789 for a free copy of my booklet, The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings. Again, 1-800-282-4789.